What a beautiful afternoon. It is 67 degrees here at Highland Springs. Kick to Wallace at the 21. Slips, eludes one man, and now a second. 40, 45, 50. To the 40. To the 30. It's a foot race. I don't see any flags. Touchdown, Highland Springs Springers. 79-yard kick return. Back to Anderson, up the middle, got running room, 20, gets a block around the right side, and he's into the end zone if he didn't step out of bounds. Let's see. Touchdown, Highland Springs Springers. 14-7, Highland Springs, Dortch back deep, high snap. He's able to get it. It's blocked. It's blocked by Thaxton, and it is picked up and returned for a touchdown. Touchdown, Devontae Kane with the touchdown off the blocked punt. Now Bates in motion. Going to try to get it, Bates. And it's picked and intercepted right into the hands of Kevon Wallace. And it's a pick six. It is a pick six for Highland Springs. So third down. Ball rests near the 45. They got to get about 6.5 yards to move the chain. They got to get to the Springers 49. Under 3 minutes to go in the half. 35-7 Highland Springs. Odom slant. Complete. First down inside the 40. Staying on his feet. And going all the way is Ty Bates. Touchdown, Hermitage Panthers. They got to get to the 14 for a first down. So it's third and 23. Odom looking across the field. Nothing there. Eludes one man. Looks far down the side. He's got a man. And it's tipped away in the end zone. Briefly open was Sneed. And it was Kevon Wallace who knocks it away at the last second. Oh, man, the Panthers were so close there. And here we go. Fourth and 5, Hermitage at the Highland Springs 17. Odom going to keep it himself, looking around left side, and he'll get it. Just enough for the first down, approaches the 10-yard line. He leaps over Rel Colley and gets the first down. Oh, here we go. Huge play now, folks. Fourth and goal at the 1 yard line. Hermitage down 15, trying to make it a one score game late third quarter. Odom in the pistol. Got Kamara with him in there. Tries to dive over and does. Touchdown, Hermitage Panthers. Kamara to the left of Odom. John Kenny in there to block two. It's going to be all Eli. Left side, dives in. Touchdown, Hermitage Panthers. And the comeback is almost complete. Okay, game reset, everybody. Here's where we stand. Highland Springs 35, Hermitage 35. 22 seconds left in regulation. Highland Springs just burned their final timeout. They are at the Hermitage 40-yard line. Out of the timeout, Carter in the shotgun. Deshaun Young is beside him. Excuse me, first and 10 from the Hermitage 40. Carter looking, pass complete, hook and lateral to Young. He gets inside the 20 and out of bounds inside the 15 to the 12. 14 and a half to go. Carter, they're going to go for it into the end zone, looking for Jackson. Touchdown, Highland Springs with 9.2 to go. Here we go. Odom looking for time, got to get out of the way. Throws it as long downfield as he can. Jump ball incomplete. And the game is over. Congratulations to the Highland Springs Springers who are celebrating at midfield a win they have been waiting for a very long time. Springers 42, Panthers 35. And Highland Springs will host a 5A state semifinal next weekend. Well, friends, that's about as exciting as a game is going to get in one of the strangest matters. You expect two teams like that to battle back and forth, but you don't expect a 35-0 run, then a 28-0 response to set up what we had as the game winner with 9 seconds to go this afternoon at Kreider Stadium at Highland Springs. Holy cow, what a day. Glad you were with us for it here. As we welcome you in to another edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RBA Sports Network, Rob Witham along with you. Still trying to catch my breath after what unfolded today at Highland Springs. Hermitage coming in 12-0. Highland Springs had won 11 straight since their opening night loss exactly 3 months ago tonight at home to those Hermitage Panthers, 21-20 in overtime. And of course, Highland Springs marching through the very difficult Capital District schedule, piling up VHSL rating points for beating Lee Davis and Henrico and Verina, Hanover. Meanwhile, Hermitage suffering a bit because of the weaker Colonial District schedule. Glen Allen, Deep Run, John Marshall. They did get rid of Thomas Jefferson and move Manchester in, and that gave them some extra bonus points. And there on that last night of the regular season, November 6th, they were right there with Bird and Highland Springs. They're all trying to fight to get that number one seed. And in the end, the one-loss team had enough by 2 points to get that top mark. And it ended up being Hermitage and Bird tied for second. Hermitage got the tiebreaker. And now we know how it's gone the last few weeks. As in the first round, Highland Springs beat Meadowbrook. Hermitage defeated Henrico. Bird defeated Metoica, setting up Bird-Hermitage round six. And the game moved due to weather conditions up to Randolph-Macon College. And Hermitage earns the 21-12 win to end the Skyhawks' reign of 3 years. Highland Springs survives a scare from a gutsy Lee Davis team, gets a 7-point win in a shootout, and that sets up today's game, the rematch of August 28th. And Highland Springs jumps out to a 35-7 lead. Nobody expected that to happen. And after that occurred, they actually got the football back when Hermitage muffed the ensuing kickoff. They had first down at the Hermitage 33 with a chance to go for a running clock. Could you imagine if that had happened? Could have been 42-7 if they could have punched it in, but that's where Hermitage set up the firewall. And they knew that there was still plenty of time left in the game, at least half the second quarter and the entire second half. And their job at that point was to keep Highland Springs off the scoreboard, try to chip into the lead as much as they could. And you heard the highlights a moment ago. You heard the touchdown that cut it to 35-13. And you heard possibly in a great day for Kevon Wallace, an incredible day for Wallace. The kick return for the touchdown, the pick six in the first half, part of that 35-0 run. I think his best contribution this afternoon was batting away what should have been a touchdown pass to Kalen Sneed, which would have cut it to 35-20 at the half rather than 35-13. But he was able to bat it away, keep the margin at 22. And as it all turned out, they needed that play really, really badly. Hermitage kept Highland Springs off the scoreboard almost the entire second half, kept plugging away, and finally scored the tying touchdown under 2 minutes to go. You heard that. And Odom, holy cow, Eli Odom in his finale as quarterback. You go back to last year and you think about how he had to come in kind of unpolished and inexperienced at the varsity level when Rashad Robinson got hurt. Kind of doing similar fashion what Marcus Pizzala did for Hanover this year when Clayton Cheatham went out for 8 weeks with a broken ankle. And Odom did such a phenomenal job last year in that regular season run. So Robinson graduates, Odom gets the position and leads his team to 12 straight wins and then calmly leads them back from down 28, scores the tying touchdown. And then at that point, we had talked about on the broadcast a couple of times how there have been some plays, some penalties, some really poor decisions that we noted that teams that have not made it to that next level, they haven't broken the glass ceiling, the kind of mistakes they make when they're going to fall just short. And for a while, I really looked like I thought we could be going overtime. And if it's overtime, it's advantage Hermitage because they were the ones who made the comeback. They're the ones with the advantage and they're the ones with the history from 90 days ago. But Highland Springs grew up in the final 2 minutes of this afternoon's game. And Coach Lauren Johnson joined us on the postgame show. If you didn't hear my interview with Lauren Johnson, I urge you to go back to our YouTube channel. Bring up the broadcast. The entire broadcast is archived at our YouTube channel. It'll be there if you want to listen to it forever. And talking with Coach Johnson in the postgame show, he said,
I looked at Carter. I told him the first play was going to be a running play. After that, I would surmise the situation, and I would let you know what we're going to do. I wasn't telling the young man what we were going to do in total. I wanted it to unfold. And I think part of that was so that Carter wouldn't be going out realizing, oh, we're not going to play for overtime. We're going to be aggressive, and we're going to try to win this thing in regulation. And that may have changed Juwan's, you know, attitude or demeanor or calmness. You never know. And Coach Johnson just calmly said, all right, this is what we want to do. They call the run. They get some pass plays complete. They get down to the 40-yard line. And at 22 seconds left, Coach Johnson calls for the hook and lateral. And I told him, I said, Coach, that was a very aggressive and gutsy call. I liked it, but it could have been disastrous. What if the lateral is off the mark and suddenly it's a live football? There's no other springers around. Could be a Panther that picks it up. He could take it and race it back to the end zone, and they could win in the final seconds. But he felt very confident that as many times that they had practiced that throughout the season, that it would come in at an opportune time. And never in my wildest dreams, for those of you who are old school like me, I never dreamed I would have a Tony Nathan reference in our broadcast this afternoon. But for those of you who were not around for the playoffs of the 1981-82 NFL season, if you've never seen Tony Nathan and the Miami Dolphins on the hook and lateral for a touchdown late first half when they were down big at home to San Diego in a game that looked like San Diego was going to run away with it, that hook and lateral for the TD by Nathan changed everything. That game ended up going to overtime. I'm sure you've seen the iconic footage of Kellen Winslow Sr. being helped off the field by his teammates as San Diego won it in overtime, 41-38, and one of the best playoff games in National Football League history. That was the best hook and lateral play I've seen since 1981. It was to perfection. The only thing that didn't happen was Young didn't score. He was knocked out of bounds at the 12-yard line, but that gave Highland Springs a shot to call the next play, and there was nothing timid. It's like, we're going to go for it. And what a call to go to James Jackson, the little used wide receiver, short snapper, long snapper on special teams, had a few catches this year, but nothing of significance until 9.2 seconds to go this afternoon, when in one-on-one coverage, he leaps up, grabs the ball, and lands in the end zone in the near corner closest to the press box, which is the visitor's side at Kreider Stadium, and they win the game 42-35. Thought incredibly gutsy decisions there by Coach Johnson at the end to go for the win in regulation rather than play it safe, and it paid off big time. So Highland Springs is now 12-1, and they will host Indian River in a 5A state semifinal. Kickoff is Saturday at 1 o'clock back at Kreider Stadium. Now, we've got to check our schedule. I'll be honest with you, I have a calendar, a wall calendar, a wipe-on-wipe-off board here at RVA Sports Network, and I'm constantly changing it, putting up where we're going to be and what time we're going to be there. So that's my cue to my wife so she can approximate how many hours I'll be gone before I get home that night. That's kind of our communication system. And right now, after Monday night, my calendar's clear. We haven't decided yet on where we're going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so we're going to do that, and if we at all possibly can do it and make it, we're going to go to Highland Springs. Today was our final live football broadcast of the season, so if we are there, we are there for live tweet coverage at Henrico Sports on Twitter next Saturday at 1. We're going to check on that, and we'll confirm it for you, but if at all possible, if we can do it, we will do it. But I got to say a word real quick about the Hermitage Panthers. They're going to lose a ton of talent. This senior class has been absolutely phenomenal. As sophomores and again as juniors, they saw their season come to an end against eventual state champion L.C. Byrd. They have more than that gone through incredible emotions with the assistant coach, Coach King, suffering the major heart attack that he did just over a year ago before the L.C. Byrd game last year. And going through the ups and downs of seeing someone that you are with every day, someone that's coaching you, that's driving you, that's pushing you, that's mentoring you, fighting for life. That will change you at 15, 16, 17 years old. I can say that personally because I watched my father fight for his life when I was 17 years old because of a brain aneurysm. He was 52 at the time. God bless him, he lived to be 81, passed just a couple of years back. Coach King is with us and fighting hard. Hermitage football team continues to raise funds to defray medical expenses. Suleiman Kamara comes out after halftime, grabs a placard that says, "Do it for King," and is showing it to his teammates when they were down 35-13 and in need of the spark. And they found it, and they battled all the way back to 35-35. And I think of everything that Coach King has taught them in the past year, probably much more than he ever taught them on the field prior to that fateful day a year ago. And I know Coach King, in spite of the loss, and Coach Kane and the rest of the staff and everyone in Panther Nation, you should be insanely proud of this team. They were incredible. They were absolutely incredible. A lot of teams would have folded and said, you know what, it's their day and we can't do it. And that never entered their mind. Never did. And when the comeback was completed with less than 2 minutes ago, it was just a sight to behold. And the Panther fans below were just beside themselves, and they should be, because they, I tell you, Panther Nation, your fans were phenomenal this afternoon. Springer Nation, your fans were fantastic too, don't get me wrong, but I was closer to the Panther fans, and they had to go through so much during that 28-point comeback. They were with their team on every play. They suffered through every emotion their teams did this afternoon, and it was just a sight to behold. So, Hermitage Panthers, you have a lot to be proud of, and I know you'll be back next year, because you're back every year, no matter how many people you lose. We look forward to another season from the Panthers, and I hate to see it end the way that it did. But on the other side, we knew somebody had to win, somebody had to lose, and I'm so happy for Coach Lauren Johnson and Highland Springs. They've been fighting for years to get to this level. And they've fallen short time after time again. There have been years where they were 9-0 and they'd play Verina for a spot in the playoffs back in the old format, when there weren't nearly as many playoff positions. And they'd lose, and they'd finish 9-1 and have to sit home and not even make the postseason. Well, Coach Johnson and company finally are going to get to play some December football. And it's going to happen at home next Saturday at 1 against Indian River, who upset previously unbeaten Hampton on the other side of the bracket on Friday night. Indian River's Highland Springs. The winner of that game will get the winner of Tuscarora and Stonebridge over in the North Region final for the state championship on December 12th. Stonebridge eliminated number one seed unbeaten Massaponics last night. Tuscarora got a win over North Stafford. So a quick thank you to Michael Bailey, the activities director at Highland Springs. They are always so hospitable and so kind when we come over. And thanks for getting us all set up and getting everything ready to rock and roll so we could bring this exclusive live coverage on RBA Sports Network today. It was our honor and pleasure, and what a way to end season number 14 of our high school football coverage here online and also, of course, on WHAN radio. Not the only game and not the only comeback in the Central Region today. Oh my goodness, hats off to Ricky Irby and the Hopewell Blue Devils, whose winning streak rolls on. Down at 1 point, 24-7. They are able to bounce back, come back, and get a 38-31 win over James Monroe, and the Blue Devils will play December football. They're going to be in a 3A state semifinal next week. They're likely to have to hit the road to do it, but as soon as we get the information on where they're going to be and when the game is going to be, we will pass it along to you on Twitter at the RBA Sportsnet. But saw those game scores coming through. Our friends at FLS Varsity doing a great job tweeting from Myrner Field today, and we thank them for doing that and allowing us to utilize their services to keep you posted on the Hopewell game while we were entranced in Hermitage Highland Springs. But Hopewell will be in a 3A state semifinal next week as well. Now, if they can make it to the state championship game, they play in Lynchburg at Liberty University. 3A and 4A play there on December 12th. 5A and 6A, they play in Charlottesville, of course, on December the 12th. And that brings us to our third and final team in the Richmond area that will play in the state semis next week. And they are the Thomas Dale Knights, with a 13-7 defensive slugfest last night over Cosby to improve to 9-4. And I got to quote Mark Davis of NBC 12. He and I were doing our On the Sidelines preview last week prior to our game of the week, Hanover-Dinwiddie. And he told me, he said, "Rob, I firmly believe that after the big three, Hermitage, Highland Springs, LC Bird," he says, "when they play at their top, at their best, I think Thomas Dale is the fourth best team in the area." And Their defense, led by Sam Stark, the linebacker, conference player of the year, certainly came to play last night. Now, Cosby had some issues in terms of injury, but still, Thomas Dale had to keep him out of the end zone, had to get the job done, and they did. And on a night where not only were points at a premium, but yards were at a premium. I don't think either team gained 200 yards of total offense. That's how shut down the defenses were. The Knights get the win, and they advance to the 6A state semis, but boy, they've got a tall order. They've got to go down to Oscar Smith. They're unbeaten now, 13-0, in the Battle of Unbeatens down in Tidewater last night, not far from where we were in Norfolk. Oscar Smith eliminated Ocean Lakes 29-19. Now, ironically enough, the last time Thomas Dale was at this level, state semis, they played Oscar Smith, 2009, and they won. And that put them into the state championship game, and you'll remember they won it all under the late, great head coach, Vic Williams. So don't count the Knights out. They're going to go down there, and they're going to give them everything they can. And so best of luck to Thomas Dale in the 6A semis, Hopewell in the 3A semis, Highland Springs in the 5A semifinal. And another hats off salute to the Hanover Hawks. We haven't had a chance to speak about them and their comeback last night against Lake Taylor. They were struggling. Lake Taylor shut down their running game, their offense, built a 22-3 lead at intermission, and things did not look good for Hanover. But the Hawks kept fighting back. They scored. They cut it down to as many as 8. They recovered 2 onside kicks. And when John Dustin hit a field goal with 6:21 to go, it was 30-22, and Hanover got the football back with a chance to drive and score and try to tie the game, and they weren't able to do it. And then Lake Taylor, with 2-plus minutes to go on a 4th down and long, they just dialed it up long, and their quarterback, Huey, 43-yard completion to Rashad Russell down to the 5-yard line, and that broke the back of Hanover because Lake Taylor went on to score, put the lead back to 15, and that effectively ended the season. And so Hanover finishes up at 9-4, but you think about this. In 2002, which was our first season of broadcasting high school football on WHAN, Hanover High School was under construction. We broadcasted the first game in the history of Hanover High School. It was in September of 2003 when they were supposed to host Patrick Henry, but their field wasn't ready yet because of rains that summer. And so they had to move the game to Patrick Henry. And it was at Patrick Henry, but it was a Hanover home game. And the Hawks jumped out to a 21-0 lead. And Patrick Henry had to fight and scratch and claw their way back. R.J. Waters, their star tailback that year. And the Patriots came back and won 28-21. Hanover struggled the first few years, made a coaching change. Late 2006, they went on a run to finish at 5-5. And squeeze into the old Division 5 playoffs for the first time. They lost in the first round big time, but they made the postseason. And every year since, they've made the postseason. And in 4 of those years, they made it to the state semifinals in the old 4 games and you win a state championship format. Now it's 5-win. And for the first time under 30-year head coach Derek Stout, they got 2 wins in the postseason, made it to the state quarters before falling in Norfolk last night. It was an honor and a privilege to cover them this year, and very proud of the efforts of Hanover High and all the teams in Hanover County that we followed on the game of the week. Lee Davis with a phenomenal season, a renaissance year, their best in almost 20 years with 9 wins. Atlee with the big playoff win, finishing up Roscoe Johnson's run with 56 wins, and a word about coach in a moment. And Patrick Henry, a young team that got moved to the Capital District, which meant their schedule got brutally tough. And even though they went 4-6, they were in the playoff hunt until the final play of the final game 3 weeks ago in the Tomato Bowl. And they fought to the end, and they've got almost everybody coming back next year. And they know now what it's like to be in the Capital District. They hadn't played that schedule in that district since the 1970s, when Patrick Henry was a doormat in football. And they're going to be more prepared and well-coached and ready to rock and roll in Coach Brian Davis's 3rd season. And just some of the phenomenal performances. And I mark out Hanover County there for just a moment, simply because, as you know, with our agreement with WHAN Radio and with my work at the Hanover Herald Progress, yes, we do focus on the 4 teams in Hanover on our Game of the Week broadcast, which is why we try to do as many online broadcasts of football with teams outside of Hanover, start of the season and then postseason, as we possibly can. And we were blessed to be able to do Hermitage Highland Springs earlier today. Well, as you may know, back on Tuesday, Roscoe Johnson announced that he was stepping down after 9 years at Atlee High School. 56 victories. But if I can make the math work out here, very quickly. 31, 40, I think almost 40 of those 56 wins came in the last five seasons. When Atlee High School, and I mentioned this at halftime on our Game of the Week Friday night, when Coach Johnson came to Atlee High School, Atlee football was effectively dead. We broadcasted the first time that Atlee played a county game when they played Patrick Henry in 2007. They got routed, but as the years went on, Atlee got better, the games got closer, and then they got that first win over Patrick Henry, and then in 2011, they got that major win over Hanover in the middle of the regular season, and that was the year that Atlee finally burst into the postseason. They were close in 2009, close in 2010. 2011, that win helped propel them to the postseason. Then they had the home overtime win in round one over Lee Davis. The rematch with Hanover did not go the way they wanted it to, and Hanover won the Division V title that night. Atlee's defense struggled the next year. They went 5-5 and missed the postseason, but it set the stage for the best season in Atlee football history. That was the 11-2 campaign of 2013. Where Atlee won two playoff games at home before falling to L.C. Byrd in the state quarterfinals. Coach Johnson led a renaissance of Atlee football. Coach John Trott had it rocking and rolling really quick in the 1990s, and then it fell on very hard times. It took a while. Raider Nation was patient. Their patience was rewarded. And now when you go to an Atlee football game, it's an experience. From the Rage Cage student section to the skybox in the end zone to the left near the front of the entrance of the stadium, to the big screens that show video highlights as you go to the concession stand, it is a phenomenal Friday night place to be. Football at Atlee High School. The dulcimer tones of Coach Jim Trimpler over the public address system. None of that happens if the football team isn't rebuilt. So to head coach Roscoe Johnson, job well done. And we wish you all the best as you work towards your career goal in administration. Chickahominy Middle School is very blessed to have you, my friend. So the search is on for new head coaches at Atlee, at Glen Allen, at Thomas Jefferson, and there may be others before the offseason is said and done. For most teams, they're looking ahead now to offseason conditioning. They're looking ahead to National Signing Day coming up early February. And of course, countdowns are on to August of 2016. But for three more teams, the dream is alive. Good luck to Thomas Dale, Hopewell, and to the Springers of Highland Springs. Been a great weekend, folks. And we had two really good games here on RVA Sports Network between Hanover Lake Taylor last night and Highland Springs Hermitage today. Our basketball coverage is about to get going. In fact, in 48 hours, we're going to be live at Mills Godwin High School as we tape this a little after 8 o'clock on Saturday night. 7:30 Monday night, live at Mills Godwin. Our first basketball broadcast of the year is girls hoops action as the Manchester Lancers come across the river to take on Mills Godwin. 7:30 airtime on the RVA Sports Network on our YouTube channel. Subscribe. I cannot stress it enough to you. The easiest way to tune in and get locked into all of our live broadcasts is to go to YouTube.com, search RVA Sports Network. Our page will come up, click subscribe, and you'll never miss a live broadcast. We've already got over 15 live basketball games. Broadcasts are scheduled and ready and locked and loaded, and we're going to get more locked and loaded over the next week or so as we can begin to turn our focus more firmly on basketball with just a few football teams left in the postseason. And we've got the link to all of our games. You can find the list on the right-hand side of all of our websites. You can go to our main network website, rvasportsnetwork.com. And, of course, don't forget about our county-centric websites where we give you highlights and scores and updates and directions and news about teams in your county at henricocountysports.net, hanovercountysports.net, and chesterfieldcountysports.net. And on all of those sites, our broadcast schedule is on the right-hand side, as is a link to our YouTube page. But if you go there to youtube.com/RVA Sports Network, click subscribe, you'll never miss a broadcast. We've got Henrico Holiday Hoops Tournament coming up. We'll be at the Southerner Classic at Lee Davis between Christmas and New Year's. Back to the StatVA.com Classic on January 16th. I ran into Michael Whittington, the president of StatVA.com, and the lead of the tournament. Saw him last night at Lake Taylor. Got a chance to talk to him. Looking forward to and very excited about another season and that two-day classic. Some of the best girls basketball you're going to find in the Commonwealth of Virginia there at Highland Springs. And we're glad to be back with them for another year of broadcasting on January the 16th. We've got Byrd Highland Springs boys action on Martin Luther King night. We've got Highland Springs Meadowbrook girls boys doubleheader late January, and we'll be announcing more broadcasts because there are several other teams that we want to make sure we get on live on RBASN during the regular season. So look for the broadcast schedule on any of our websites, including our main network website, RVASportsNetwork.com. And as we close up, got to say a big thank you. And a big thank you goes to you, you who are listening, you who are following us on Twitter, on other forms of social media, our Facebook pages, our websites, etc. Early this week, between our three county Twitter feeds, at Hanover Sports, at Henrico Sports, and at Chesterfield Sports, we eclipsed the 15,000 follower mark. Now, on RBA Sports Network's main feed, the RBA Sportsnet, we have close to 3,000 followers, and we're about 13 months into that reboot of that particular Twitter feed. And we don't count that in our official statistics, and the reason why is that we know we have a lot of followers who follow one of our county sites, or one of our county Twitter feeds. And they also follow the RBA Sportsnet, because on the RBA Sportsnet, we keep you posted on everything going on in high school sports in the area, as well as other sports as well. VCU, University of Richmond, other college sports, the Flying Squirrels in the spring and summer, the Kickers, etc., etc. That's our place where we talk about everything going on in sports. So we know a lot of you, you know, you follow Hanover Sports because you go to Atlee, and then you follow the RBA Sportsnet, or you follow Hermitage, so you have Henrico Sports on your Twitter feed, and you have the RBA Sportsnet. Or you're at Cosby, and you've got Chesterfield Sports and the RBA Sportsnet. So we know there's a lot of overlap. So when it comes to talking about stats and statistics and figures and numbers and stuff, we don't count that. That's a separate feed in and of itself, and so we don't talk about that one. But the three county feeds, Hanover Sports been around a little over 3.5 years now, Henrico Sports a little over 2.5 years, and Chesterfield Sports a bit over 2 years, 2 years, 2 months. And in that time, I can remember a conversation with my daughter a year or two ago thinking, you know what, if we were able to get 10,000 people following us on Twitter on our feeds, wouldn't that be phenomenal? Wouldn't that be great? And we passed that, and we zoomed past it, and this past week we hit the 15,000 mark. And that is not to brag. That is not to boast. It is to say thank you. From the bottom of our heart, this is, and we've told you this many times before, we are a family-owned and operated business, emphasis on the word family. We do not have corporate backers. We do not have investors. We are not owned by a billionaire. We are just the little engine that tries. And so when you put your trust in us to get your information, find your coverage of your favorite school or your favorite sport, whatever the case may be, we take that trust very seriously, and we want to do the best we can. Sometimes we don't always get it right. Occasionally we screw up. We are human, and it'll happen again, I'm sure. But trust me, it's not because we want to. We do everything in our power to bring you the best coverage that we possibly can. And so from all of us at HCS Media LLC and the RBA Sports Network, thank you so much for following us on Twitter, for being with us on Facebook, for checking out our websites, for listening to the podcast, for listening to our broadcasts, and for counting on us to help you enjoy your sports life a little more. And as our motto is, sports, family, life. Not everything we talk about is about sports. Families very important to us, and so is life. And that's one thing I think we learned the most coming out of the game today, the fight of the Hermitage Panthers after they've watched Coach King fight so hard for the past year. It certainly rubbed off on them, and what an incredible, phenomenal performance coming back from 28 down. They may not have been able to hold on at the very end, but Hermitage High School has a whole lot to be proud of. So do Highland Springs, Thomasdale, and Hopewell as they get set to play December football. Congratulations to them. All right, my friends, basketball starts Monday. So does swimming. So does gymnastics. So does wrestling and indoor track. The winter sports season is upon us, and RBA Sports Network will be there to keep you posted on Twitter, on our Facebook pages, on our websites, at Instagram, every step of the way. And as we close this podcast tonight, quick shout out to my buddy Leela Hainsworth at Hanover Volleyball, who announced, Leela, why did you do this to me? You announced it in the middle of the Hermitage Highland Springs game, and thankfully I happened to catch it on the side of my eye on Twitter so that I could get it out there on Hanover Sports. She has committed to play at North Carolina A&T University. So proud of Leela. We watched her older brother Dante star for Hanover High School. He's now, man, just finished his junior season at Norfolk State University playing football for them and doing great work in the defensive secondary. And now it's going to be Leela's turn to do work at NCA&T. Looking forward to that, Leela. Congratulations on that honor. And with that, we wrap things up on this edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RBA Sports Network. Solely intended for the private, non-commercial use of our audience, any rebroadcast or other use of this podcast without the express written consent of HCS Media LLC is prohibited. I got a wire I got to go fix. And since I don't solder, I think I'm going to have to go down to the local wire store and buy a new connection. Friends, I hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving. Thanks again for joining us for the football action this weekend. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll have all the things you need to know about next weekend's semifinals and basketball coverage. Don't forget, top 10s, preseason top 10s tomorrow night, Sunday night, 8 o'clock on Twitter at the RBA Sportsnet. We unveil them then.